This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Okay, first we're going to do a little testing. Hi, everyone. I'm Monica.
Good morning.
Can you see me now?
Yes.
Can you see me now?
Yes.
Can you see me now?
Yes.
Okay, here I am. Have any of you experienced maybe a child or a grandchild, a cousin, a somebody in your life that said, "Oh, it is so hard. I have to text to let you know I'm going to be late. Oh, my life is so hard. Can't we turn up the air conditioning?" Anyone? Mm-hmm. And then you have someone a generation back to remind you, "Well, no, do you know what? I used to have to call my friends from a landline." And we used to have to plan ahead before we went and did stuff. Yes, it was tough. And in fact, the whole genre of movies can now not be understood because of miscommunication by the landline, right? Amen? So our whole movie would have But the point is here, we have every generation that thinks they have it worse than the other. Amen?
Amen.
And even in times such as these, I know some of us worry that we are in sad, depressing times. Amen?
Amen.
But this is where we're going to get some help from the gospel today. These folks had heard about John. They had listened to John. John was going to be their leader that was going to then introduce the next leader, the Messiah. It was great. John had long hair. He sang. He danced. He dressed funny. You know, like a true hippie. Right? He was a movement maker. He was a change agent. But now we come to this part of our text, and where's John? Well, in a jail. If he hasn't been beheaded, getting ready to be beheaded. So the people are kind of down and out. They're like, "Oh my gosh, what's happened to John? He was our movement maker. He was our change agent. We were ready to follow him." And then, in fact, he introduced us to this person called Jesus, who was baptized and was anointed and called beloved. And he was going to bring peace to all of us. But now, in today's text, where we're at is the people are still oppressed. They're still occupied by Rome. And they're feeling really down and out. Anyone felt like that maybe since November? But Jesus says, "I will comfort you. I will be here for you. I will give you a yoke to make it easy, to make your burden light." So one of the reasons I'm back here in Galesburg, Illinois, back in the Midwest, I was raised in the fine town of Genesee, Illinois, home of the Green Machine. Woo-hoo. I know you're intimidated. Yep. But one of the reasons I'm back here is we have the ancients of the 1830s to remind us that when times are tough, we can rely on Jesus, and we can rely on being a movement maker, and we can rely on these texts that have been given us today. I'm in love with Galesburg and Genesee, the 1830s and 1840s. I just think we were really hip towns back then. And one, for instance, is a George Washington Gale that founded Galesburg. And let's think about the times they were living in. Let's think about their background. Slavery was the reality for the whole country. Let's not imagine that the North was away from it, because if you wore cotton, you were part of the slave trade. If you bought sugar, you were part of the slave trade. If you used salt, you were part of the slave trade. Every part of our economy was connected to the agriculture of the South, because we weren't yet farming, right? Right? Are you with me? I know we're good farmers here, I know, but we weren't yet developing. And so you have these Christians who were born during the Revolutionary War. Let's think about that. George Washington Gale is named after that George Washington. And was born in 1789, the year of our first Continental Congress. So George Washington Beale talks about this in his autobiography. He goes, yeah, this is who I'm named after. There wasn't much expected of me. Ha ha. And so he took these scriptures and he studied them and he studied them and he studied them, and he needed them to kind of get inside of him. And he heard the text that we heard today. Oh God, life is hard, but you will make our burden easy. The first text that he has in Articles of Faith that begins the church here in Galesburg is, for God so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Because of his faith, he knew that a group of Christians needed to go out to the prairie and to change the way that America was being founded. And so he organized people back in Western New York. Do any of you already know this story? You can add in if you want to. Am I boring you yet? On the edge of your seat? Because this is a good story. So they gather all these people in Western New York, and he has them put in money for plots. Because he's already come out here ahead of time. He's our first venture capitalist. And he's bought plots here. And you probably can still buy them for about $1.25 an acre, right? And so he bought them, and he comes back, and he says, okay, people, we're moving out. We're going to start this new society. And these are the three beliefs that you must have. One, abolition of slavery, and that you believe that slavery is a heinous crime against all humans. Okay? Two, remember the Sabbath. No selling cars on Sunday. Right? Y'all grew up with that? I grew up with that. Didn't see anyway. And then three, we only drink water and tea and coffee. Right? Temperance. So three issues that they took all at the very same level. We are going to practice this. We are also going to be physically fit. We are going to have a place, George Washington Beale said, that has moral and physical and spiritual character, and you're going to be trained in all three. And so that's why it was a manual labor school. No one will be turned away from our school because of economics. And so how you're going to pay off your college is you're going to work for a few hours on the new farms that get developed and on the place around here. But it also makes sure you get to go to a top-level school so that we can keep training people who are going to be movement makers, who are going to be followers of John and followers of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So he gathered up all the people back there in Western New York, and they traveled. Now, this is not something that was thought light of. He started planning this in 1834. It wasn't until 1837 that they got here. So you kind of sort of change your mind. The founders of Geneseo, they had to, they planned for 6 years. And people were, and think about this, you most likely weren't going to see your families that you were leaving behind. Because you knew you were going to create a better world than the one that existed. Because you believed in John the Reformer and Jesus the Messiah. You were going to make this world that felt like it was oppressed, repressed, depressed, and that kept people of African origin from accepting Jesus Christ into their heart, from having their own minds, from having autonomy of their own bodies. That world was going to change, and this group of colonists was going to be part of it. So they arrived in 1837, and they began their congregation. And, you know, back then, Congregationalists, Presbyterians were all one group. So they were the Presbyterians, is what the scholars call them, and started the church that's on the square, and started the college that we all know and love so much. And still to this day, there is still a policy of, if you want to come here, we will make sure you get here, and we will help you with your finances. So we have over 20% of students that are first-generation students. So folks where mom and dad never went to college, they're the first generation. And so we make sure they get the finances to do that. Starting in the fall of this year, we're going to be considered a minority-majority school, where a minority of the population, well, the majority of the population are minority populations. We welcomed 16 Pakistani students last year, and we're welcoming 16 more. We are continuing that journey of let us understand each other, let us create a world that is a better place that we are in, Let us have conversation instead of, I don't want to talk to you. Let us participate in ending the slave trade as opposed to being part of it. Amen?
Amen.
You all are part of an amazing legacy. So much so that people travel the world to be here, to hear these stories, to learn about how they can be better in this world, how they can have a contribution of making it a better place instead of wallowing in the, oh, woe is me. We are meant to be active. George Washington Gale was active. He did not want to be someone who was a victim of bad circumstances. He wanted to be part of the change. And so, to me, I think we are always, anywhere that we are at in Galesburg, and I know there's lots of fun parts to Galesburg, but they are all hallowed and sacred ground. Because this experiment that was started in 1837 is still here today. And I believe that we can teach the rest of America what it means to be movement makers, what it means to change a society that may be doing harm to some and not enough good for others. I believe that it is not the breadbasket that is the ill for all of America. I believe we will be the change, and we can help the people in the bubbles on the coast. I have a lot of faith in us. I have a lot of faith in you that you have chosen to become a Reconciling in Christ Church. That is indeed continuing the journey. Because I hope 10 years from now, someone will say, I cannot believe, just like we say about slavery, I cannot believe another human owning that other human. Can you? And I can't believe anybody would discriminate against somebody because of their orientation or their identity. Can you? You see, we are part of a movement. We are the listeners of John the Baptist, and we are the children of Jesus the Christ. Let us go forth from this world and be the change we want to be. Let us love one another. Let us be gentle with one another. And let us all say, with you, I am well pleased.